Welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are a group of passionate individuals who are coaches and mentors here to help inspire, guide, and support you on your journey of wholeness. We know that the journey of wholeness is a lifelong pursuit, and we are thrilled to join you in your journey. We are passionate about sharing our life lessons, wisdom, and knowledge to help you to transform your life. We focus on teaching principles of truth, supporting you in applying those truths, and helping you to live a life full of joy. Hi, and welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. I'm Heather, and I'm here with Amy and Jackie, and we are going to be talking about kintsugi today. No, that is not a made-up word. Kintsugi is a Japanese art form. So back in the day, when pottery would break, they weren't able to just replace it. And so they would take these broken pieces of pottery, that, you know, whether it was dishes or vases or whatever it was, and they would take it to a master craftsman. And this master craftsman, he would glue it back together and he would line it with gold. So this piece that had been broken suddenly was now more valuable because it was literally lined with gold. So we did a process today, well, yesterday and today, that is, in theory, it's the same kind of thing. We took plates and we broke them. I'm going to let Jackie share her experience with that here in a minute. But we broke our plates, and then we got to name each piece as if that was us. The pieces of ourselves that had felt broken or hurt or injured, you know, where our wounds were. We got to name those pieces, and then we got to glue our plates back together, and then we lined it with gold paint. We don't use actual gold. However, we used gold paint. And in my opinion, the final effect is quite beautiful. Anyways, that's the process we have been going through, and we just want to share with you some of our takeaways and our experiences. So, like I said, I want Jackie to share what happened with her breaking of her plate.
Cool. Okay. Thank you, Heather. That was a lovely introduction. I've been exposed to kintsugi for quite a couple of years. I've never done any of the actual kintsugi work before until now. And I'm a very hands-on learner. Like, I learn the best when I'm moving and my body's very involved. And so this was a really cool learning process for me. Heather has explained this process many times over the past couple of years, and so I cognitively knew what the steps were, but like I just mentioned, going through things for me makes things very real and makes that really come alive. And as we were getting started, she was explaining the steps, and so, you know, I was cerebrally going through them. I was like, okay, we're gonna smash these plates, like, what? And she was kind of guiding us and directing us to do it in a certain location so that everybody was safe and we weren't damaging property or anything. And we wrapped them in some fabric, and I didn't really understand why we were doing that at the beginning. But then she handed us a hammer, and I was like, I know you've said we break the plates, but I have to smash my own plate with a hammer. She said, yep, just smash it. Make sure you only do it once and smash it. And I could feel some really big emotions showing up inside of me, and I didn't really understand them at the time. It's taken me a little while to kind of process through all of that, but as I put this plate down on the cement and had the hammer in my hand and I knew what had to come next, it was really difficult for me to use that force and to break that plate with the hammer, because to me it was really difficult to know that this plate is representing me and my own brokenness and the pain that comes along with feeling broken and being broken. And I didn't want to have to inflict that kind of pain. I wanted to avoid it. I really didn't. I thought that was a dumb process. I mean, not the process, right? But I was like, I don't want to do this. It's just, I guess that just speaks to like the empathetic side of me, and that painful side of life has always been really difficult for me as just a human to like process and synthesize pain. And I knew that this was the beginning step in this healing kintsugi process that we were doing with these plates. And it just brought up a lot of emotion that I didn't realize. I mean, I deal with this, I live with this, but I didn't realize how impactful smashing my own plate with a hammer would be. There were some other things that showed up in the rest of the process, but that was the most impactful part for me, that I had to really be brave, like really be brave and show up and do my own work, because that was hard. That was hard for me.
And I want to add some clarity for our listeners. It's not that you loved the plate or had an attachment to the plate, right, or found it a valuable plate.
Right.
It was what you saw that plate representing that, yes, was the difficult part.
Yes, it was. Because Heather had just presented us like an assortment of plates that she had brought to us, and so I had never seen these plates before, you know, a couple of hours previous. And I just chose one that felt like the right plate for me. And so you're right, like I had no attachment to the plate specifically. It was just, it was the smashing process of something that I knew down the road we would be putting back together, and like that it did have value, but yeah, it was just the smashing painful process that was really difficult for me. That was good clarity. Thank you.
Allowing ourselves to break. I want to just touch on that for a moment, because I feel like, well, first of all, so often in the world we talk about being broken as like this negative thing, and like we're broken people, and that's not what we're after here in this podcast today. It's the fact that everybody has had things that have happened to them, and I know for myself, there have definitely been times in my life where I've had wounds and I've had experiences in my life that have been incredibly painful, and I've tried to just hold it all together and not allow myself to quote unquote break, because I thought that that was weak. There is no weakness in breaking. There's not. What then we need to choose is whether we're going to stay broken or whether we're going to allow the healing power of Jesus Christ to come in and help make us whole, because that's where true strength lies, is the healing that comes after we allow ourselves to break. Anyways, that was really beautiful what you shared, Jackie. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think what you just said, I think that really just speaks to probably why it was so difficult for me to do the breaking work, because I probably struggle with that, like I have to just hold it together. And I think that process of smashing my plate with the hammer just really brought all of that emotional volatility up to the surface of like, I know that this is a part of our human journey and our growth cycle. I just really hate this part of it, right? It's like, this is the most painful, messiest part, even though like we'll explain the rest of the parts in just a minute, right? But the other parts technically were messier, much, much messier. We got glue everywhere. it was lovely. There were shards of plate everywhere, like after we smashed them. But to me, that was the messiest work. But that was just my experience. I'm sure the next time I do, it'll be a different process. But that's where I was at in this process.
Well, as you were saying, you know, there were shards of plates everywhere.
Yeah.
You mentioned that we all wrapped our plates in fabric first.
Yep.
And the cloth, that was so that the shards wouldn't scatter to the four winds, you know? Literally, that cloth held us together.
Yeah.
And so, like, it held our plates together so that the pieces wouldn't be lost. And that's what God does for us. When we allow ourselves to break, He holds us together.
Yeah.
So that the pieces of us are not lost, and then the healing process can begin.
Yeah. That's the thing that made it safe enough to be able to smash my plate.
Yeah, that's cool.
Interesting process.
So, Amy, your experience has been a little different. All of our experiences were unique. I think yours was, I shouldn't laugh, but it was really kind of entertaining for me to watch. You might hit me later for that, but that's okay. I would love to know a little bit more about what's been going on the inside for you.
Okay. So, breaking the plate, fine. Wasn't emotional about that. And I guess my inner critic, my inner part of me that was just dissatisfied with maybe just thinking this process was a waste of time started coming out. So I'm looking at all these pieces and this plate thinking, why on earth am I spending my time doing this? Like, this plate has no meaning to me. The process, I could be doing something else with my time. And I expressed it to Jackie and Heather as we were doing this. I was like, just so you guys know, this, I'm like just pushing through to maybe get to the other side of this. I don't know if I believe in this having any value. There was some interesting conversation that we had from that. And I think probably at the root of it for me is not believing that once I'm broken or an aspect of my life is broken, that it's worth taking any time to mend it. And even not having experience in my life that showed me it could be mended. Because Jackie's right, it's painful to get to that point where you're like, man, this is so broken, I don't even know what to do. Right. The pain is deep. And yet, to maybe on my end have a little bit of faith that A, it is possible to mend, and B, that it will still have worth after it's mended. And just a little insight into my plate. It broke in so many pieces. Jackie had like
so many pieces.
Jackie has her 6 pieces that she's got to glue together. Heather's got like 8 or 10.
11. I had 11.
11 yeah. pieces. And I had, I don't even know. I didn't even count. But enough that I was a little discouraged at that too. I was like a little grumbly.
I think you had like 30. It was a lot.
And then there was
like a million little shards.
Shards in the middle that were just indistinguishable. So as I'm gluing this together, there was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of, well, what showed up as I started gluing this together is a couple key learning points for me. That A, I struggled to ask for help. So I had 30-ish pieces to try and get to go together, and I'd get 2 together, and then all my hands were taken up, right? Like, yes. Now what? And there was some tape that you could use to help hold pieces while you grab others and start puzzling them together, but I seriously noticed a strong tendency to just stubbornly refuse to turn to Jackie or Heather and say, hey, can you get me a piece of tape, or would you hold this? They saw me do this frequently. Like, I'd prop the piece of the plate up between some apples.
That was valid, though. That was a good place to put your plate.
It may have been creative, but it was also, like, that stubborn inner refusal. Like, I will do this on my own. I cannot stoop to asking for help, you know. Mm-hmm. And seeing that reflection in my life, you know, we've been talking about how depression, part of the fuel of depression, it's a deep and complex topic, but can come from an over turning inward instead of reaching out for that support, having the community. So what I was doing with my plate was somewhat reflective of times in my life when I've been struggling and took on that same attitude of like, I've got to do it. The only way to get it done is if I do it. I don't care if I'm struggling. I'm just going to like my way through it and make it happen. But as I humbled myself during the plate process and said, Jackie, will you get me some tape pieces? And Heather, will you go get me a paper towel? You know, like different things that I needed and realized it would be near impossible for me to do so gracefully on my own. And practicing that humility, it eased the burden a little bit. So that was another insight.
It was really beautiful to watch you as you finally got to the point. Like, I saw you take this deep breath.
Yeah. And surrender.
And surrender and say, would you please help me with this? Because we had offered. We're like,
many times.
Just sitting there watching. We're like, hey, would you like me to get you some tea? I'm happy to help you. You just ask. We will help. But we weren't going to, like, impose that help upon her. We recognized that that was something she needed to grow into and recognize within herself that there is strength in numbers. Absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the things I've learned the most through all of my experiences with Kintsugi is healing never happens on my own. Even if I'm the only person in the room, I'm not alone. Like, true healing requires more than just me. It means me bringing God into the picture. Like, that is necessary. And sometimes it means me asking other people for help too. Whether it was going to a counselor and asking for help, or calling Jackie on the phone and saying, hey, I need to process through something, or working with a mentor. Rarely does it ever happen just me and God. But never does it happen with just me.
Yeah, I've heard something. I can't remember where I learned this from. But I learned that along these same lines, that our brokenness usually happens between us and another person of some varying degree. But healing happens in that same way. Yeah. Like, we're usually, our broken parts and pieces usually happen in context of a relationship. Whether it's with yourself, or with God, or with another human, that's usually where pain and hurt and brokenness comes from. But the beautiful thing, the irony of that, is that healing happens within a relationship as well.
Absolutely. And that's one of the main driving forces of the journey of wholeness.
Absolutely.
Is creating a safe space for people to be able to have safe and healthy relationships with themselves.
Yeah.
With God and with other people.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kintsugi is one of the many things that helps us to learn how to experience that.
Yeah, love that. Did you have other insights, Amy?
I still don't like the process.
And that's okay. It's okay to not like the process.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, have you found value in it?
That's a good question.
I believe the value will come from me as I implement changes in my life based on what I learned, that it will hold very little meaning until then, and the plate itself is only the means to open my eyes to the things I needed to learn. So
absolutely. It's absolutely a symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what you said. It's the application process, right? The meaning comes when you apply what you've learned. So, is there value if you apply it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Depends on what we do with it, right?
Right.
It's how life is. Like, and we teach this often. It's like, we can learn something. We can go through the process. Amy went through the process, but she just explained, like, unless she works on internalizing the things that showed up for her, and same with me, and same with Heather, right? Like, we all had our own individual stuff that showed up. But if we don't do the work to, like, implement it and work on practicing it and putting it into place inside of us, then it's just a broken, messy plate, you know, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It has paint on it now, and lots of glue. But absolutely, the value in anything comes in the application and making things come alive in that way.
I think when we go through trials in life, God uses everything for our good. And when we go through trials in our life, it's taking the lessons that we've learned from the trials and implementing them and applying that so that we can be better people, so that we can be who God has created us to be ultimately. However, we also could go through a trial and become bitter, or, you know,
we could turn the other way. And so it's really about our hearts and having our hearts be open to being willing to make the effort to change, to grow, to transform, and to allow God to lead us through that messy, turbulent time. I've been experiencing some turbulence. Jackie and I were discussing this yesterday. And we're like, oh, here's the turbulence. Okay. So, and she was talking about breaking the sound barrier, how the planes almost came apart until finally somebody said, you know what, let's just go faster and break through all the turbulence. And they broke the sound barrier. Yeah. And that's what we get to do in our lives. We get to push through the messy, hard, turbulent stuff and keep growing. Otherwise, we just turn around and go back to the way we were, and there's no progress made.
Okay, Heather, what was the most impact? What were some of your insights? What was the most impactful thing for you in this process? Because you've done this a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear your insight. Because Amy and I, this is our first time. You've done a couple times. What was your insights?
I still had to take a deep breath before I broke the plate. I was fine. Like, I had shared with you guys what's going to happen. I've guided people through this before. I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I was the leader. And so I led the way by breaking my plate first. And I was like, oh, as soon as that hammer was in my hand, I'm like, this is real. And I had to take a deep breath. And then I let it out. I exhaled and hit my plate. And so even though I've been through it before, like, it was still a new experience for me. I was still nervous. I was still a little anxious because I knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was going to be different because every time I've done this, my experience has been different. The pieces that I labeled, you know, my broken pieces of my plate, you know, I named every single one of them. They've never had the same name. In all the times I've done this, it's always been something different. I'm like, oh, here's more that I get to heal. Okay, cool, thanks. Here's more of this. And then I got to a point towards the end when I was gluing my pieces back together and realizing pieces that were connected and those broken things in me and how they connected, and it was highly uncomfortable. And I realized there was some work that I get to do if I choose it. And for a minute, I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, that stubbornness came out. And because I've been through this before, I also recognize how important it is to apply what I've learned and be like, okay, no, this is worth doing that work, even though the work is uncomfortable, even though it takes a lot of effort, it's worth it. And so for me, that was really powerful. Another thing I noticed was just an awareness of my own growth since I've started, you know, since the first time I've done this. But the self-judgment and criticism as far as my leadership abilities is not like it used to be. I wasn't like, oh, beating myself up because I didn't do something perfect. I didn't explain something perfectly, because they would ask me, okay, now wait, what about this? And I was like, oh yeah, because I didn't explain that very clearly. And in the past, I would have gone into this self-criticism mode inside, just internally beating myself up for not having done it perfectly. And this time it was just really beautiful. I was like, oh yeah, well, I'll explain that better. Here you go. And then I was able to give the answer. And there was no judgment on myself. And that, I think, was one of the most beautiful things for me, was to see that I really have done the work to get to the point where I am safe with myself. And that was huge.
That is huge. And I keep having this thought in my mind, like, especially for our listeners, right? It's like, as we are on a healing journey and learning how to improve our lives little by little, oftentimes we compare our stories to somebody else's story and we're like, oh, but I'm not healed like that yet. Like, we go into this sad, sad, sad space. I've been there many times. That's why I know where you're at. If that's what's in your mind right now as you're listening to Heather's story. But I'd love for you to clarify, Heather, really quick, if
Can you give us a rough timeline of what you're comparing against with what you just experienced today and yesterday compared to how long ago was that first time that you've done this? Like, what's that time span?
So the very first time I ever did this, not leading it, but just experienced it myself, was almost 3 years ago.
Okay.
So that was the first time I ever experienced kintsugi. The first time that I ever led it was probably about 2 years ago.
Okay.
2.5 maybe.
Okay.
And there was a lot of criticism. There was a lot of, oh, I was so scared, you guys. I was so, so scared because I was leading a group of almost 30 women in this process. And I was so afraid of being inadequate.
Yeah.
I was so afraid of messing up. And it's really been so over the course of the last 2 years, that I've been doing, so I've been working longer than 2 years, but really the last 2 years on creating this self and healthy relationship, safe and healthy relationship with myself.
Cool. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that because it's often easy to go into that comparison space, right? And to be like, I mean, even if our stories are, it's taking you longer than 3 years or 2.5 years or whatever to get similar results that Heather's just describing, that's not the point that we're emphasizing here. She was identifying that her life used to be a lot messier and a lot worse off than it is now, and that change comes because she has applied true principles into her life. And we're all unique. We all have unique combinations of things, and we can't guarantee that your story is going to be anything like Heather's story, but that's not the point of that either, right? But what we do know is that as we continually apply true principles into our lives and do the work, sometimes it's messy, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it takes your breath away because of how beautiful it is. But as we do that work, and as we invite you into our community and our space of the Journey of Wholeness, your journey will present to you beautiful results. Your story may sound a little bit different than any one of our stories that you've heard today, but it's your story, and it's beautiful. That's one of the takeaways I took away from our kintsugi process today, as we were the last step in the process after we've glued our plates and let them dry. You have to remove all the excess glue, and then you start painting with gold. And I was shocked at what came up during that process for me, because I, again, conscientiously in my mind know the value of art because I've understood that for several years, that art is this vulnerable space, this vulnerable thing, and we need to be doing it. And yet I know I've had a lot of creativity scars in my life, lots and lots and lots of them. And doing art, I mean, I just don't feel like I was really blessed with like art as a thing. It's not one of my strengths that I turn to all the time. My art shows up in different forms rather than like paint on a canvas or, you know, photography or something like that, but it's never been a thing as a strength for me. And so as we were painting, I mean, it was a simple process. It was just taking gold paint and putting it in little lines to cover my little cracks on my paint, on my plate, but it was a surprisingly emotional process for me, because of my creativity scars inside of me that I'm working on healing. And I realized there was this moment, right? I was kind of working through some thoughts that had come up, and I was like, oh, I'm not, I was recognizing my turbulence, right? Like my discomfort with this artwork process. I was fine gluing. I was fine with all the other things. I'm used to doing that kind of work, but the art is still triggering for me. Because I tend to be really critical around the artwork. That's how I've been. I learned how to be critical as a young person because of these wounds that all of us have had, different art wounds, creativity wounds throughout our lives. But that was a very strong, prominent voice inside of me most of my life, and still is. That's why I generally avoid artwork, because it's really difficult for me to navigate that voice. But kind of like Amy, as she was describing her messy process with this with her 1,000 pieces that she had to glue together and how difficult that was. And she just persisted. I had to do the same thing with the painting process. I was like, oh, okay, this is really not comfortable, but I persisted. And as I was bringing up some of the things I was talking or noticing in my mind, my thoughts, I all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, artwork has nothing to do with the finished result. Because how many times have you seen a painting or a picture that you're like, to me that is not really beautiful, but to whoever created it, it's absolutely beautiful because they created it or they helped to bring it to life, right?
It has meaning for them.
And all of a sudden, as I was painting my plate, it was this message that hit me. It's like, I now have as Amy described, like at the beginning of this process, I didn't really have a relationship with this plate. It didn't have any meaning, special meaning to me. It was just a plate. But as I held it and I broke it and I glued it together, and now I was doing this really detailed finishing work and putting beauty back into the plate. And that's how I see it. It's like painting gold. It adds a lot of beauty. What came apparent to me was that it's the relationship that I had with the plate that actually is the art. Meaning that my plate looked very different from Amy's plate and Heather's plate. And I could tell myself going into a little bit of comparison, you know, as I would look up and look at what they were doing, and I'm like, no, my plate's not very good, you know. But that's that critical voice. And as I shifted into this space of, oh my goodness, it's about me and my plate, because I have loved and nurtured this plate for the last 48 hours or 36 hours, however long it's been. And I don't even, as I shifted into that space of like, it's me and my plate, like that pressure or that stress or that worry about what Heather's doing, what Amy's doing with their plates compared to mine, like completely melted away instantaneously in that moment. It was a really beautiful transformative moment for me of like, I care what they're doing, but I don't really care what they're doing, because this is about me and my relationship with my plate, you know? And meaning that, you know, as we allow God into our lives, like God is doing this finishing, beautiful, detailed work in our lives often, and we sometimes don't see it. Sometimes we don't see him breaking us. Sometimes we don't see the gluing back together. But as I was working through this process with thinking about my relationship with God, I realized that must be how he feels about me, because it does not matter that I'm not the same as anybody else or that I'm not quote unquote perfect, right? That it's his relationship with me that matters to him, and that's where the beauty lies. It's a really beautiful takeaway from that part.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. It's been a really, really beautiful experience every time I've done it. And one thing I noticed today, just in comparing my life with the plate, it's like it's probably been about 14, 15 years ago that I really started this journey of wanting to improve myself. And 5 years ago. And so I'm thinking of the plate. I'm like, okay. 15 years ago, I broke my plate. And I started like gluing it back together and all of that. I feel like it took its time to glue and then to let the glue dry and all of that. And it's been in the last 5 years that I've been doing like really way more intense work. And the last 2 years, it's like the finishing touches of the paint. And it's been, like I said, it's been more intense, more focused, so much more focused over the last 5 years of really doing the work, applying the principles that I've been learning. And that was the painting today. I noticed as I was painting my plate, it was a lot more focus for me. Now, Amy's experience was different. She probably needed a lot more focus for the gluing of her plate.
She did.
But for me, the focus came in the painting, and that's where I really needed to concentrate my efforts.
Me too.
And that's been like the last couple years of my journey has been like that intense focus of, okay, let's work here and really focus on healing these things and growing myself. So
that's a really cool insight.
And it's been beautiful just with what you were talking about, you know, having that relationship with God, having it be individual and unique. That's just been for me in the last 2 years as well. Really coming to know that He loves me individually, uniquely, and that my uniqueness matters to Him. Yeah. And He has made me that way, and it's beautiful.
Right.
Just like our plates are unique.
They are. And seeing value and beauty in them. Yeah. In their differences. Yeah. They're all plates.
Yeah.
But they're all different.
Yeah.
And they're all beautiful. Even in their broken state, and in their whole state, and now in their golden empowered state.
Exactly.
You just made that up.
I love it. I would encourage all of our listeners to look at your golden empowered state. Like, see the beauty in your own brokenness and in your wholeness and your journey of wholeness. Like, really look at that and see where God has empowered you through being broken so that you can become whole again.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, that's a solid invitation. So we invite you to take action on that. What that could look like is grabbing a piece of paper and starting doing some journaling on your own. Maybe it's calling up a really dear, trusted friend and discussing some of the things that you're learning today and just working through them. Maybe that action looks like reaching out to us in our community for a little bit more help or support. We can meet you at any level that your needs are showing up at the moment. And we'd love to help support you if that feels in alignment with you at this point. There's lots of other things in how that action can show up for you, but we're not here to give you the prescription necessarily, like say it has to look like this. There, we believe that the infinite universe is flowing through you, and if you will listen to your heart, just get quiet for a moment and ask yourself, okay, I'm feeling inspired by this. What is the one action that I need to take as a takeaway? What do I need to take action on? And if you'll listen, you'll find an answer. We gave you a couple of suggestions, but you're not required to do any of those. Listen to your heart. That's our invitation to you on what you need to implement in your life right now.
And then have the courage to take the steps that come to you.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to our story. And we find a lot of joy in sharing these insights with you. So thank you. We really appreciate you joining us today.
And until next time, I hope you find so much joy in your journey.
From our hearts to yours, thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are so grateful for you. We believe in you. If you'd love more of this great content, please consider subscribing. We'd love to support you even further by you joining our Facebook group community called The Journey of Wholeness, where we talk about principles to help empower and transform your life along your journey of wholeness. You can find out more details at thejourneyofwholeness.com.